You're listening to the Esoterics Podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Fiora Elise.
And I'm Joe. Greetings, humans. Welcome back to the Esoterics Podcast. We are so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, today we are going to close out season two and take a little break for the holidays. But we will be back to drop in minisodes now and then, just to keep you guys informed and engaged as we see fit.
Yeah. Maybe when like cool things pop up, or who knows, right? Because tomorrow the election, so we have no idea what the coming days are going to look like. It could be fucking Armageddon. God knows, right? It could be a survival.
I had a dream the other day that I had superpowers that I didn't know how to use them, and the world was ending.
Mike, that's awesome, right? Because you do have superpowers, and maybe you'll be forced to learn how to use them.
In the dream, when everyone was coming to me like, aren't you going to help? And I was like, I don't know how to do it. And I had some power, something about like, it was like fire, like I could shoot fire at or something. I don't know what it was. Something having to do with like fire.
That's a good one. That one would get out of control. Like I would be, I don't like what you just said. Incinerate you. I had a crazy dream the other day. So my friend Laura, I dreamt that we walked into, I guess for lack of a better term, it would be like a bar. And we're standing at the counter and this lady walks up. And she has on a clown nose and a mustache hanging off the clown nose that says Trump. Or no, it said Trumper. And in the dream, I said to her, now we're just wearing our, wearing it on our face for all to see. And she's like, yep, what can I get you? And Laura was like, not a fucking thing. And she walked away and went and sat down on the other side of the bar. And I'm looking at her, and then I'm looking at the lady, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, but I want a drink.
And that was it.
Isn't that the stupidest dream? And I told her, I was like, I don't know what this means, but if I'm waiting for a drink, I'm going to get my drink. Okay.
I know.
I loved it. But yeah, no.
It just kind of, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of nuance, I think, to that. But yeah, one is like that. Those people are everywhere. And we do have to learn to, I don't know, live with them.
Well, you know what I think? Honestly, I mean, I read Christine DeLore. She's a numerologist, and she really uses she's a predictive numerologist, and the things that she can see in the numbers is amazing. It's like fucking next level. So I just posted it in the Esoterics community, and it was how we're going this week, that sort of thing. Basically, her take on it is based on all of the numbers and where we at and where we are astrologically, numerologically, I'm going to make up a word, that this is something, this craziness is going to come to be. But in order to heal anything, we have to experience it first. And even though we've experienced it, I don't know when that experience is going to end. But I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the good news is that, if you truly feel, if you tap into your intuition and you do a little bit of meditation on it, and you truly feel as if you will be safe, because remember, we all have a fucking mission here. We are light workers. We have a mission to raise that vibrational frequency, so that we can continue to ascend. We are not dark workers. I'm not saying that I think that people that support that the MAGA people are dark workers, because I truly do believe that they believe in what they believe, right? Like that is their legitimate belief. I think at their subconscious, they know it's wrong, but they only know it's wrong because they're souls, right? But their third dimensional consciousness, they truly fucking believe that that is the way to be. So long story short, I believe that eventually we will have a third party in politics. And it's going to be the MAGA crowd, because the Republicans are, I don't believe that they're going to completely turn all of them MAGA, because some of them aren't. Plus, remember what's who's coming into politics, that younger generation, the millennials and the X and the Yers or whatever. Those are all empaths. Those are all star seeds. They're not going to allow this bullshit, this boomer bred Gen X allowed bullshit to continue. So it's just going to take a minute. Probably not. I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetime. I hope so, but fuck, man. I don't know what it's going to be like to live as a brown person in this country if, you know, those MAGA people have their way. I have no idea. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, at least I feel like it's a little better on the coast.
Right. We're lucky here living in where we did live.
Yeah. Although where I live is still like, even though I'm in Southern California, I'm really close to this weird red pocket.
Yeah.
That is just cringy. Like it just makes you, it just, you know, you go to a bar or a restaurant and at some point you realize like you're the only person of color in the room and like you start to feel weird.
Yeah.
And you know, it's it's not the most fun. I had an incident the other day.
You did? A racial incident?
No, it was not racial. It was different. Do you know who Andrew Tate is?
Andrew Tate. That name doesn't sound familiar to me.
Okay. He's some guy with – some asshole with a podcast.
Okay. All right. We love them, right?
Right? Yeah. He's like some ex-wrestler guy. No fucking credentials.
Meathead.
To, you know, be giving out – to be giving out life advice, but yet there he is with an audience. And he just basically spews out a bunch of misogynistic, fatphobic mess sprinkled in with probably some life advice that's most likely plagiarized from like actual people that know what they're talking about, like maybe like Dr. Joe Dispenza or something. Mm. And so, you know, you bundle all that together and he's essentially giving out information to incels, you know, to men who can't get laid. And
so basically he's Tony Robbins. He's a small version of Tony Robbins, who's also a giant douchebag.
Yeah. At least Tony Robbins is like a behind the closed doors douchebag.
I hate that fucker.
No.
Yeah. No, he's a misogynistic. What does behind closed doors douchebag mean?
Well, he's not like out there blatantly like telling like men to treat women like a certain way or talk down to them. You know what I mean? Like, I know he does it. And I'm not excusing him.
No, by any means. I know. I'm just, okay.
I mean, fuck that guy. Anyway, back to my story. I was at the gym and we're sitting in, with my husband, we're sitting in the sauna. And my husband's got his fucking headphones on, which I'm like, dude, like next time.
In the sauna, won't that like hurt the electronics?
It does. And that's what I told him. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and there's a guy who we've talked to before. And then there's this other guy, this other skinny male white guy. He's got a fucking Marine tattoo on his calf. So just context.
Booyah.
And he's talking to, you know, the guy that we've talked to before. And he's telling him, I don't know what he's saying. And then he's like, yeah, that's Andrew Tate, man. You got to listen to him. And I was, and then for, I took a pause for a moment and I was like, is this guy fucking serious right now? Like in my, you know, in my head. And then I'm like, God damn it. I just can't. And then, so then I said it out loud. I was like, are you serious right now, Andrew Tate? And he looks at me and I could just see like the defensive like shield come up. And he's like, well, what's wrong? And I was like, what's not wrong about that guy? What do you mean? And he's like, well, have you actually listened to him?
Oh, of course. You're the uninformed one.
I am the uninformed one. And I was like, I've listened to enough to know that I don't want to be part of his audience and I don't want to give him any more views or listens. And then this idiot says, well, if me and my friend so-and-so right here are talking about how it's not a good idea to stick your dick in a blender, but all you hear is the part about us talking about putting your dick in a blender, you're gonna not gonna understand what we're talking about, are you? And I was like, are you trying to say taking things out of context? Because I understand how taking things out of context works.
Girl.
And I've listened. this fucking idiot.
Keep it on, right? Okay, then what happened?
And then he had no argument beyond that, right, basically. And I was like, I don't understand why you would want to take any type of advice. He's like, well, you haven't listened to everything that he says, and not everything that he says is bad. And I'm like, if you have to wade through a sea of misogyny and other horseshit to get to your quote unquote good life advice, sounds like you need to find yourself another guru. Mm-hmm. Like, that is ridiculous. And you should not be sharing that information and encouraging other people to be listening to this guy. Like, he makes life advice for incels. Mm-hmm. He does not want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with women. Like, he's ridiculous. Like, all he talks about is like hateful things against women. What part of, and we make up the majority of society. Like, you have to live with us, whether you want to be in a relationship with us or not. Like, why? How dare you? Mm-hmm. He stopped talking to me. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's a shame. What did his friend do?
No, and then his friend and I continued the conversation, and he was like, yeah, you're right. He's like, that guy. Yeah.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Shut up. I love it, right? Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I was thinking, I was like, should I have said anything or should I have not? I was like, no, I can't. First of all, if he had said something about, like, you know, mind your business or whatever, be like, listen, you're in a public place. And if you want to have a private conversation, go to a private place and have your stupid ass conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be saying this shit in public and where I can hear it, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not just going to let you sit here and say stupid shit in public. And the more that we do sit back and just allow those conversations to happen in our presence, like, especially as women,
the more complicit we are.
The more complicit yep. we are. Like, you got to say something. Yep. And if you're a guy and you hear other guys saying this, like, you got to stop them. Yep. Like, it's not right. That's how stupidity spreads right. and continues.
Right. Because- well, that's why blatant racism has taken such a stand or such a stage now. It's just out there now because of complacency. It's because of, you know, allowing things to happen. Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't want to get involved. So I'm just going to, you know, even though I disapprove, I'm not going to stand up for it. You know what I mean? It's like that incident in Seattle, right? Where, I'm like, listen, do you hear what they're saying? And the person I was with was like, no, I don't hear, as they turned their back because they were obviously trying not to hear because they didn't want to hear. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you can't, that's what's happening right now. And if you were going to be a part of it, then fine. Then you wear your MAGA mustache and clown nose on your face for the world to see. But if you don't want to be thought of as that, if you know it's wrong, you have got to start standing up, stepping out, and speaking up. People have to do it.
And if you can't say something, at the very least, you need to leave the room. Because the fact that you sit there and you continue to, either to listen or to pretend to block it out or whatever, to the outside in, that looks like you're participating.
Yeah. It's happening, guys. It's happening. It's November 8th tomorrow. And I mean, I hope that, democracy holds, democracy stands, but, you know, the downside of that is that if it does, there are going to be hordes of election deniers that are going to, start.
They are voting. Shit. They are voting. For every one person that thinks that their vote doesn't count, there's some moron out there who thinks that the election was stolen and it's their American right to vote, and they're going to do it.
Yep. And any candidates that don't win are going to file lawsuits, file mm-hmm. complaints. They're going to do everything that they can to block and steal and do all of those things, you know, to just raise trouble. That's what our democracy is looking like right now. It's a shit show, and it's only going to get worse. So, I hope, everybody has voted. If, you know, by the time you hear this, the vote will have taken place already, unfortunately, but,
And it's just so important, especially with the Senate, because if we lose the Senate and they start fucking with getting our judges elected and all of that mess. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, the mess that is the Supreme Court as it stands. And it didn't start there. It's not going to stop there. And we already have so many Trump appointed judges throughout the country and all sorts of courts that it is scary.
It's scary. The good thing, though, is that those Trump appointed judges, the majority of them, we are finding, mm-hmm. they're upholding the law. They're upholding precedents. They're like, look, I get it, but I'm a, yes. I'm a judge and I care more about my fucking, you know, integrity and reputation yeah. than I do about, you know, this dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Trump is, first off, oh, can I just go off tangent for a minute? And has anybody else noticed how Trump looking Elon Musk is becoming? It's like you look at him, he's got, his eyebrows are getting bushier, his face is getting fatter, his hair is, he's starting to look like Trump. And I'm wondering if that just what are those authoritarian sort of like, that's what's happening with their physical body.
An evolution, the physical evolution of an authoritarian.
Last week we talked about men looking like Jack Nicholson, but now we'll talk about men looking like Trump. All right. Well, listen.
Anyway, please vote.
Go vote. Okay. What's happening in your world? Anything family related, fun related?
We just finished Dia de los Muertos this last weekend. We went to the festival in town.
And it was good, fun, amazing.
It was great. They had the costume contest for the Katrinas, like, you know, the women do all like their makeup and stuff. And yeah, and they have a whole contest for that. They had Lucha Libre. They had a parade. It's cool. There's just a lot. And it's just, you know, the ofrendas, they have like this this little park. And you can sign up and you can come and you can build your own little like altar. People really like, you know, do a beautiful job building these things and personalizing them. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of them are just, there's so many family members. It's sad because, you know, they're all passed. But at the same time, like how powerful
I know, it is what a beautiful to remember. Legacy. Yeah.
Yeah. To remember all these people, you know, in your family, loved ones. That's cool.
If you haven't seen the movie Coco, you have to see this movie because it'll explain all of these terms, you know, that Burley's is using. And, you know, my friend Tracy went to Mexico City for Dia de los Muertos. Day or the festival, she went to Mexico City there. So.
Oh, yeah, in Mexico City.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had some cool pictures, and she got her face painted, and it was really really cool. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
How about you?
I had a very exciting weekend. I cleaned the fuck out of my bedroom, which, listen, it needed it. I mean, it really did. I mean, it was awful. You know, I rearranged furniture. I tore everything apart. I took the vacuum hose, the attachment, and I like, you know, got into the cracks and the crevices, like cleaned it out, put away my summer clothes, busted out the sweaters and all that stuff. So now I'm ready for fall. And, you know, it's been blustery and cold here the last, you know, week. So it's here. Fall is officially here in Portland.
I want to do that. I spent yesterday just doing some light gardening. I have a sea of leaves in my backyard, which I'm not prepared to to get into yet. But I was just transplanting stuff, and I'm open to advice because I am setting up like a little area on one side of the garden where I already have sage planted and rosemary. Mm-hmm. And I have my rue plant already too. That one's in my front. And then I have a bunch of aloe vera, but I want to add another plant, like another medicine plant. If anyone has an idea.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at you, Ashley. We're looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I want to keep adding to that little area because it self-waters, so I can keep it alive.
Oh, yay. Cool. Okay. So some people say don't rake your leaves, because it messes with the ecosystem of the bugs and the caterpillars and all that stuff. Other people say don't mulch your leaves because the acidity ruins the grass. So it's like, well, what the hell? I mean, don't bag them up, don't mulch them. But just, who knows what to do? So
tell us. I don't know. I have no idea.
We have no idea. What you do with
it? I plan to get rid of all the grass in the front yard. I don't know how soon. But soon, because I don't want grass, period. I'll keep it in the backyard for now just because it looks nice. But in the front yard, there's zero use for it. It is a complete waste of the soil. So I want to remove it and plant the native plants and do that like xeriscape stuff in the front yard. Though which that will be easier to do than to take on the backyard. The backyard's way too much right now.
Yeah. All right. What's self-watering mean? Is there like a...
Oh no, it's on a system is what I mean.
Oh.
Like it's on a watering system. All right. Okay. I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Well, there we go. That's what happened to us this weekend. Very exciting stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am still accepting commissions for custom jewelry. And I've begun adding a zodiac, a little silver zodiac sign to the back. So
it's so cute.
It's truly custom. And I mean, when you get a piece of jewelry that has your zodiac sign on it, like that's yours. But I want to talk about the process just a minute because I've had some recent expectation disappointments. And here's the thing. When you commission an intuitively designed piece of jewelry, you should only have one expectation, that the finished piece is going to be made with the highest level craftsmanship as possible. I mean, every time I create a piece, I'm working on my craftsmanship as well. But the stone that I use and the design is channeled. It's completely channeled. So the stone that you're hoping you might get, it might not be the stone you actually get after all the pieces come together. And what are all the pieces that come together? First, we have you fill out the questionnaire, letting me know what your favorite colors are, your styles are, what favorite stones are, that sort of thing. Then we have an Akashic reading, and I go through your numerology, your astrology. I'm adding more astrology pieces in it, like your nodes and your Chiron. All of that gives me a printout of your soul blueprint, your purpose, what you're here to do and how you're meant to do it. That's what I use to choose your stone. And then the stone that I choose is going to drive the design of the pendant. If I use a square stone, it's going to be a little bit different. The design obviously is going to be different than if I'm using a pear-shaped stone. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how everything comes together. So having an expectation of the stone that I use it's really just going to create disappointment. Once people get it and they hold it and they feel the energy and then they read the write-up that I do about it, they're like, oh yeah, I get it. But between them getting it or me unveiling it and them getting it, if there's disappointment, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of sad because most people like freak out and they're like, oh my God, I love it so much. But some people that are disappointed, it makes me sad. It's like, I put my heart and soul into this. So of course, it's a little bit of ego there still, but it's like, you know, as a people pleasers, you know, we want people to be really happy with what we do. And, you know, when people are I don't know, you know, I expected something different. It hurts my feelings.
Hey, I don't know. I think it's kind of weird because I feel like you have a very specific style and I feel like all of your pieces look like stuff that you make. Like it has your style infused to it. And it just reminds me of like interior designers have this struggle where they also have like most interior designers have a very specific style that they produce. Whether it's always tuned to the customer, right? To the homeowner and what their tastes are and what their needs are, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, they still, it all comes out produced kind of the same, it has that same tone to it. And it's just weird to me that somebody would like hire an interior designer knowing what their style is and then be like disappointed that it, you know, that it looks like their style. And it's like, well, you know what you're getting. Like this is what it looks like. This is what my style looks like, at least. I don't know. No. It happens. It happens all the time, I think, with all kinds of designs. But
yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I mean, yeah, it is. It is. But maybe it's just a piece of it's an element of being a designer, being, you know, a creative, sharing yourself with others. But anyway, I didn't do this to be like, you know, because people want what they want, right? So I'm not going to, you know, slam on anybody. But the main point here is that if you want a specific stone, a very specific stone, that is a standard commission, but that does not include an Akashic reading or an accompanying guide. So, you know, if you book an intuitively designed piece of jewelry women with me, just release any expectations and enjoy the process and wait until you have the piece in your hands and on your body to really feel that that piece of jewelry was designed to be a piece of your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just the announcement that I have as we're going into the holidays. You know, my commissions are coming in steady. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Today we're going to talk about dreams. Yeah. I love talking about dreams.
I love you talking about dreams.
Yeah, I want to talk about why we dream and or just basically theories around why we dream, because nobody actually knows why we dream. Mm-mm. It's almost one of those things where it's like impossible to study mm-hmm. because it's a very personal and private experience. And so everything that you're hearing is a secondary, you know, secondary told mm-hmm. story or from a secondary perspective. So, all right. So first, let's talk about the 7 different types of dreams. And I'm sure there are more. I mean, there's lucid dreams and all that. But these are the general 7 types of dreams.
I had no idea there were 7 dreams, 7 types.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So number 1 is a current or recent event dream. So this is one of the most common ones. So these are usually about events that happen within like the past 24 or 48 hours, either directly or indirectly reflected in your dreams. So for instance, if you have like a fight with your romantic partner and you have an argument in the dream, or you watch it, like this happens, shit that happens to me all the time, right? Like, you watch a car chase in a movie and then you have a dream about, right. you know, having the car chase. That's why, like, I have to be very careful mm-hmm. about what I watch before I go to sleep. But yeah, so it's details in either current or recent events are not always so literal as in waking events. And some representations can be metaphorical or symbolic. Hmm.
Okay.
And then there are actual metaphorical and symbolic dreams. So these are typically dreams that help us process life events. So whether it's current things that just happened or things from the past metaphorically. So for example, if you're having a hard time maybe completing a work project, you might have a dream where you're struggling up a mountain alone and you have no gear. Like, and so, you know, and then maybe you see other people climbing the mountain and they're all geared up and they have like a whole team of people, you know, climbing up with them together. So that, yeah, obviously that's a metaphor for like you feeling like you don't have any support at work or whatever. So yeah, that's an example of a metaphorical dream. So most of them, they're, when you properly interpret them, they can provide insight for personal development. And that's really a beautiful thing about dreams.
For sure. For sure. What do you think the clown nose and Trump stash was a metaphor? I mean, I have my
ideas.
Well,
I mean, I think it's that, you know, that these people look silly out there, like being, you know, waving around pridefully their support for this clown, right?
Yep.
But then the fact that like you're up like at a bar and you're like requesting something from them, I think it's just that reiteration or that reminder of like, you still have to interact with these people, mm-hmm. like whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And so then you have the choice, like, who am I going to be? Am I going to be the bigger person or am I going to be the petty person today mm-hmm. or whatever? Mm-hmm. I mean, not, and no judgment on which one you choose, because I will choose one or the other.
Ooh, petty is my favorite color sometimes.
I know, me too. Wait, so when that guy left the sauna and he was like saying bye to the guys, I was like, bye, have a great day. Because I just wanted to make sure that he knows that I can fundamentally agree with you, but I'm still like, I'm not going to hate mm-hmm, you for it. Mm-hmm.
Just think poorly of you because you're a dumbass.
Sure. But I still want you to have a great day.
Mm-hmm. So I think it also means like before they were wearing a mask, right? A white hood or hidden. Yeah. Now they're still wearing that mask, but the mask is it's just a nose and a mustache, right? It's mm-hmm. it's they're only mm-hmm. partially hiding. Yeah. But also that by coming out and taking off the hood and putting on the mask, you really do look ridiculous, because the majority sure. of Americans don't agree with MAGA Republicans.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Okay, good yeah, one. That one was symbolic. What was that category?
Metaphorical or symbolic.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yep. Okay. Number three, fantasy/comfort dreams. Hmm. So these are also fairly common. So these involve like fantasies coming true or comforting experiences, especially like when you're going through a hard time mm-hmm. in your life. So this can often be like things that you aspire to have or to do, wish fulfillments, compensations in response to like the ups and downs of your daily life. So what they're really there for is to like evoke that feeling, to remind you of the feeling that you could have. So whether these are experiences from the past or the present. So for example, a child who's bullied in school may dream that they're a superhero, or an older adult who feels alone may dream about traveling with friends when, you know, when they were younger mm-hmm. or something. So, yeah, but among other functions, both the fantasy and the comfort dreams may be that subconscious way of helping the dreamer soothe and release from the stressors of waking life. And it's like you get to take a vacation from your anxieties.
Which would be nice, right? If dreams were comforting minor, I think yeah. I said this in the group the other day, minor fucking Salvador Dali paintings every goddamn night. And they're not soothing at all. So I want one of those dreams.
That's funny. All right. Number four is creative/problem-solving dreams. So these can sometimes be inspirational and they can provide creative ideas or long sought solutions to problems. So you may wake up feeling like this grand revelation mm-hmm. has been, you know, revealed to you. Two well-known dreams of this type or singer Paul McCartney's dream of a melody, which became the song Yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is really cool. Uh-huh. And then Nobel Prize laureate James Watson's dream about snakes, which led to devising the structure of DNA.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had dreams like that, like creative dreams, but they're like nothing close to that. You know, when I was 16, I had this dream that I saw this band and they were all wearing this like red velvet jacket. And I was like, that jacket is so cool. And literally the next day I went on eBay and I found it I bought it. Yes. And I got it. And it was the best jacket. I freaking love that jacket, and I had it for years, and it came to me in a dream.
What happened to the jacket?
It stopped fitting at some point. Right. I was 16.
So creative dreams are actually a really amazing way for our higher self to speak with us and communicate with us, right? When it comes to our life path and our purpose, like, you know, what is the next thing that we're meant to do or experience or dreaming is, you know, just your subconscious sort of full
speaking
on.
To you.
Yeah, speaking to you and taking in information and all that stuff. So that makes sense. What a cool topic, though. I wonder how many other cool, amazing things have happened or have come to light or have been invented because of a dream.
Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. I would. Yeah, that would make a cool episode, too.
It really would.
Okay, number five is my least favorite, nightmares.
Oh, yeah, nobody likes those.
Yeah. A nightmare may occur following a recent stressful event, so like a family problem or an incident while driving or upsetting news. Nightmares may also be a result of unresolved anxieties, fears, or traumas from the past. Some nightmares are attempts of the subconscious or unconscious to work through those issues. The nature and the cause of nightmares can be multifaceted. So in some cases, that may be biological, neurological, chemical, dietary, as well as psychological factors at work.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, nightmares are awful because you wake up feeling so horrible. Luckily, mm-hmm. I don't experience nightmares often, very rarely. Knock wood.
Dude, if I get cold, I have a nightmare. It is the worst. So I have to just make sure that I don't get cold. Like last night, I made the mistake of sleeping in just like my leggings and a bralette. And it was not enough because at some point, like, you know, my back, my shoulders got cold. And I had my worst nightmare is something happening to my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's my worst nightmare in waking life. So it obviously it's going to translate into my dreams too. So in my dream, I dreamt that I had lost my son, that I couldn't find him. And I was like, I was just freaking out until the point like where I woke up and I was like, oh, God damn it.
Because I'm cold. So did you put on some clothes?
I just got really tired of the blanket. I wasn't covered with enough blankets.
Why do we do that? When we're uncomfortable, when we're cold, when we don't get up and change our clothes, we just hunker down and like we continue to be unfucking uncomfortable during our sleep.
Well, I'll tell you why. Is because if I get up, I run the risk of then spooking my sleep, and then I won't be able to actually get back to sleep, and then it's not worth it.
Really? That's so crazy.
Yes.
That doesn't work with me. Last night, it was freaking cold as shit here. Last night, I wore a sweater to bed. And I had my t-shirt, and then I wore a cardigan, this old ratty cardigan you wear around the house, right? And then... yeah, I had the whole shebang on. Socks, sweats, t-shirt. I was sexy old lady.
You got to stay warm. All right. Number six is lucid dreams. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the most interesting and the potentially one of the more fun ones if you can achieve it. So this is where the dreamer is aware that they are, you know, dreaming, that the dream is taking place. So frequently, lucid dreaming allows the dreamer to control their actions while the dream is taking place, as if, you know, one of the lead actors' roles in like your own movie, right? So this type of dreaming is not only fun and enjoyable in many instances, but it also gives the dreamer the power to problem solve. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, may have the real life application benefits, you know, if you can get to that point, you can see how something might turn out. There's this trend on TikTok that kind of causes me worry. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's basically people are encouraging other people that when they lucid dream, when they realize that they're dreaming, is to ask someone in their dream the day and time. And they do it, and basically it causes all sorts of mess. Like, it causes other people in their dream either to lie to them, they'll give them the wrong date, or they'll tell them things like, you're not supposed to ask that, or just straight up getting like avoided from the question. Another person had like sleep paralysis. They like were instantly like shot out of the dream, and then they like opened their eyes and they're in their bed and they looked over at their clock and the time was still wrong. So it was like this weird like dream within a dream sleep paralysis thing. It's weird. I can't think of like some metaphysical or like esoteric explanation to it, except for the fact that like it's your brain is producing all, you know, your dream state. It's the one that's putting together all these dreams, and it's built upon your experiences and all this stuff. And I think in general, there is a purpose, and those purpose, like we've talked about, like they can be multifaceted. So I think that when you try to fuck with the system being your brain's like, no, stop, like we're not here for that. Stop doing that. You're not here to know date and time. Also, probably has something to do with like, maybe if you want to get esoteric about it, like being not in our dimension and in a dimension in which time doesn't exist and therefore it doesn't matter. And so that's why like the people in your dream or the basically like the subconscious reflections that appear in your dream don't want to tell you what time it is because it doesn't matter.
So think of it like this too. So that space between sleep and wake, that's where people are actively engaging in when they're lucid dreaming. So yes. I have access to that space for maybe 5-6 seconds and then boom, I'm out. But within that 5 or 6 seconds, all sorts of shit comes through. Like that's my most active space, like major. We were talking about like the songs, you know, that were inspired. That's where I get hits. I get hits between that space, like to do a topic or to something. So if I were actively engaged in that, it's not just about inspiration because you are between the veil, right? You're in like, let's just say it, the fourth dimension. You're between the third and the fifth. You're in the fourth dimension. So think of the spirits that exist in that fourth dimension, earthbound spirits. Mm-hmm. So of course, they're going to, if there's somebody who's lucid dreaming, they're going to actively engage with somebody. They're going to be assholes that are going to fuck with them. I mean, that's all about fourth dimensional earthbound spirits, but also other spirits have access to that. So it's kind of like you're taking down all of your, any quote unquote protections that you have up, or, I mean, it's a cluster. It's that Bardo state. It's the in-between state. Anything could fucking happen. So the fact that they're engaging, I think lucid dreaming is very powerful, but I also think people on TikTok don't have the fucking credentials to guide people through how to effectively master that state of consciousness. And again, sometimes TikTok is a cesspool of nonsense and fuckery. So you can look at it a million different ways, but your gut of it's probably not a good thing to do. It's not a good thing to do if you're not fucking trained in how to manipulate, or not manipulate, but how to master the fucking lucid state.
Yeah.
You know, these kids.
Be careful with these friends.
Goddamn kids these days.
Kids these days. yeah, there's a lot of theories as to why we dream. So before I get into the last type of dreams, because these are the supernatural dreams, which I think is really cool. But let's just talk about the prominent scientific theories as to why we dream.
Okay.
The one is to consolidate memories.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like self-organization. So scientists believe that dreaming is a side effect of brain neural activity and that memories are being consolidated during the sleep process. It's an unconscious information redistribution. And it's also suggested that memories are either strengthened or weakened. So like that movie, what's it called? The Disney movie, a Pixar movie, Inside Out.
Inside Out. Inside Out.
Yes. So that's what it reminds me of when I was reading this. I was like, oh, it's like Inside Out, you know, where you process memories and some memories get stored. And then as you store new memories, some become like, some go in the garbage. Mm-hmm. Like they don't need them anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another one is creativity theory. So this is the theory of creativity within dreaming is that it allows for an unconstrained, unconscious mind that is free to wander its limitless potential while unburdened with any like things of, you know, your waking life or the conscious world. So it allows you to just have like extreme creative thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like that one. I resonate with that one. And I think that's why my dreams are so psychedelic. Literally my dreams every single night. Doesn't matter what I eat. It has nothing to do with it. My dreams are fucking on acid every single night. And I've tried to figure out why, but there's nothing. There's no reason. So I just let them be.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that they successfully dream up just ideas, like their best ideas, their aha moments come from dreaming time. Another theory is called the continuity theory. So this hypothesis, it says that dreams function as a reflection of a person's real life, incorporating both conscious experiences and unconscious experience into their dreams. So rather than like a straight – so this is back to that first one where it's like – or the second one where we said it was a symbolic metaphorical dream. So that's basically what that is.
Okay.
Because it's not going to be a literal replay of what happened in your life. It's more, again, like it's more of a metaphorical representation of what you've experienced in your life. So that, again, but that's the point of it being that it helps to store those experiences into long-term memory.
Okay. All right.
This one is one of my favorites. The theory that dreams help you prepare and protect you.
Oh, I like that.
Because I have a lot of dreams about driving, and specifically about like driving crazy or like situations that require me to like maneuver like the car in a certain way. So this is essentially that it like allows you to practice important survival skills. So this is where it kind of your brain is putting you under a like threat simulation theory, basically. And then it's your focus now to like prepare yourself for this like life threatening or emotionally intense scenario. So like if you're running away from a pursuer, or you're falling over a cliff, or showing up somewhere naked, mm-hmm. which apparently seems to be a common mm-hmm. thing, going to the bathroom in public. And I was like, is that like, did somebody write this about me? Because I constantly have that stupid dream. It sucks. or like forgetting to study for an exam, or like showing up late for work, right? Like I feel like a lot of us have those. Like we're like, oh shit, I completely forgot to do that.
Dreams about being naked in public and all that stuff.
Yeah. But it's the whole thing is to like help you practice, like a practice run of like if you actually had to experience this thing.
I don't have naked in public dreams, thank God, and I'm not practicing for either. That. Oh my God.
Me either.
That would not be good.
Another theory is that it's just your dreams are there to process your emotions.
I resonate with that one the strongest. Which,
yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. Mm-hmm. That it helps you just to cope with your emotions mm-hmm. or trauma mm-hmm. in the safe space. Mm-hmm. Research shows that the amygdala, which is the area of the brain that involves the processing of emotions in the hippocampus. So all of that like plays a vital role in condensing information and moving it from short-term to long-term memory storage. This is super vivid and intense during dreaming. Like it's like really lit up when you're dreaming. So that generally this research is showing that there's a strong link between dreaming and memory storage and emotional processing.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can feel that. And I mean, of course, it's a safe space to process your dreams, right? Or to process your mm-hmm. fears or your emotions or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it totally makes sense. I like that theory. Yeah.
And then this one's pretty short. These are just a spiritual theories. So the Zuni and the Kichemaya traditions see dreams as direct communications from sacred ancestors.
Believe it.
And then the Tikopia in Polynesia see many dreams as direct communication of spirit beings to the dreamer, mm-hmm. which, yeah, I can also see mm-hmm. that. So what's I thought was super interesting, though, about all of this is that majority of anthropologists believe that dreaming is actually one of the like foundations of most spiritual beliefs and religions.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it came from things that people experienced in the dream state.
Right. Okay. I mean, think about major advancements and major, inventions and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. where did these thoughts come from? How did the people know how to, we'll take, who discovered electricity? Who was it? Was it Benjamin Franklin?
Edison?
No,
the light bulb. Edison was a light bulb.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did they get to that point? Like, how did they have this theory that, okay, there's something that can power these things? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think it was Tesla, right? Because I think Nikola Tesla was technically the one. And then it was because Edison like stole it because he worked at the patent office. Like, that's the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. We gotta add that to the list of potential topics to talk about. Some bullshit.
Yeah. There's also this idea about dreams that it's considered a little death. So it's actually a common notion in cultures all over the world. Mm-hmm. So every primitive religious tradition has some reference to dreams as being a small version of what actually occurs when you physically depart from Earth. There's a traditional saying among indigenous Americans that is, to die is to walk the path of the dream without returning.
Oh yeah. But it makes sense. Again, you're in the fourth dimension. Once you leave the third dimension, you're dead, you gone. So, you know what right. I mean? I mean, it makes absolute sense. Remember we talked about in the last episode that we did about dreaming? Well, in one of our episodes, we talked about sleep paralysis and, yes. you know, how people are being held down by demons. But it's actually mm-hmm. the physical body starts to come around before the soul is ready to go back in because yeah. the soul's like, I'm fucking astral traveling. And that's all. That's what death is, I guess, right? Yes. The soul leaves the body, mm-hmm. you know, so at least partially. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. So to close it off, I want to talk about the last of the category of types of dreams, which are supernatural dreams.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. These are really cool. Okay. So the first one within this category is the dream of premonition dreams.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So this is where you have a vision of the future event, which later comes true. I've had these. I think you've had these too, right?
Mm-hmm. Precognitive dreams is what I call them.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's telepathic dreams. So this is when the dreamer receives communication about a person or an event occurring elsewhere within the dreamer's waking knowledge. And then after the dreamer awakes, details of the dream are verified to be true. My mom has these.
Mm-hmm. I have those all the time. It goes with the telepathy. So your mom probably has telepathy mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She had like really strong telepathy with my dad because they would always be like, oh, you read my mind. Mm-hmm. Like at least once a week, mm-hmm. it was something like that. Like, oh, you read my mind. I was going to tell you to get that. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to tell you. And yeah, they would do it all the time. Okay. Also shared dreams / communion dreams. So this is when different mm-hmm. people have the same dream at approximately the same time.
Mm-hmm. There was a theory on that about members of the same soul group, the same soul family, all of that stuff. My legs are tingling now. So there's something there that having to do that with
makes
that.
Sense.
And also about it has something to do with like group consciousness. Hold on a second. Let me see if there are anything else. My guides are being particularly chatty on this. They got very excited about this one. It has to do with the evolution of the soul group, making sure that people arise at the same time, awaken at the same time, evolve at the same time. Okay, this is them speaking. They're saying that it has nothing to do with a dream and everything to do with the alignment of the subconscious. My legs are going crazy right now. So group dreams are about alignment of the subconscious for very specific purposes that are directly related to ascension, soul growth, that sort of thing.
Oh.
Ooh. Good guy.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I've had a shared dream with Joseph before.
You did?
Yes. And it was funny because I don't know who told who about the dream, but basically, or you know, who started the story first. But basically, we had the same dream that like kind of crossed over because I was like having an elevator dream, basically. Like I was something having to do with like a parking garage and an elevator. And then there were some people in the elevator. And then he had like a different perspective of the same thing of also like there's also an elevator and then I was there and yeah, it was funny because when we were like, what the hell? Because mm-hmm. I've never had that before.
Uh-uh. No. Have you ever explored your connection with Joseph? I mean, obviously you guys are soulmates, so you have that soulmate connection, but have you ever gone into the records and explored it and found out the origins? You should. I feel like you guys, this isn't your first lifetime together. I feel like you have been brothers and sisters in off and on in various past lifetimes. So,
oh yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more. There's like, there's more there. I would explore it. That'd be fun. Checking into the origins.
That's cool. I'm going to. Okay. And then the last within the supernatural dreams are visitation dreams. So this is a dream in which recently deceased family, friends, romantic partners, or your pets appear. And these dreams are often vivid, loving, instructive, mm-hmm. and sometimes life-changing.
Yes. I love those. Pets. I love when people dream about their pets too.
I have – my pets are – still alive, but I have dreams about them like all the time. They're always in my dreams. I'm like, why are you guys here too?
Imagine how they feel.
Especially the bird.
Charlie, he's like, I'll be here forever. How old can he live? Can't he live for like 20 or so years? Girl, you're 40. Gonna have him. 40 years? Okay, when you're freaking 60 years old, you still have this fucking bird. I'm going to be like, see, that's what you get for getting the bird.
Getting the bird. Yeah. Yeah, he can outlive us, really, if he wants to.
Good. How do birds live for 40 years, but yet dogs only live for like between 10 and 15?
Because we haven't fucked with their genetics like we have with dogs. Dogs used to have a long lifespan like a human, but then, you know, we inbred them, crossbred them too much, and basically fucked with their genetics, and now they don't live that long.
Oh, I don't like that.
I know, sad. No, but that's why mutts live longer than purebreds, if you notice.
I did not notice that, but mutts are, yeah. Dogs are dogs, right? I mean, I know that we all have a certain breed in mind that we love, you know what I mean? Or that we want or whatever, you know, but when it comes down to it, a dog is a dog is because it's all about that unconditional love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, you know, if they get inbred, they turn really stupid.
They're
still lovable. They're still loving. Yeah. They're just stupid.
Yeah. Poor babies. they didn't ask.
I know. It's not their fault.
No.
Poor guys.
Mm-mm. No.
All right. Well, I hope this sheds some new light on the way that you think about your dreams or when you share your dreams with other people.
It was good stuff. Thank you. That was a good conversation. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode and for season 2 of the Esoterics podcast. We're going to take a little bit of a break. You will see us occasionally, like we said earlier, be able to catch us on some of the mini-sodes. But in the meantime, you can find us on all the socials under Esoterics Podcast, and you can join our group, the Esoterics Community, on Facebook. It's a safe place to ask questions, post memes, and talk about all things spiritual or not, right? We like some good pop culture conversations.
And also you'll find support and information on developing your own spiritual and intuitive abilities as well as your daily practices. Thank you guys so much for inviting us into your life. Stay mystical, magical, and don't let anyone tell you what to do.
Bye, guys. Bye.